This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
One. All right, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom. I've got my good friend here, Mr. Will here, over in the good old New Hampshire, the state that is all this weather is caused by Joe Biden, I guess. I don't know how Joe Biden fucked up your weather, Will, but sorry to hear that.
You know, the weather's an inside job, Tom.
Yeah.
Which I know that's a common conspiracy, and people say that there's truth to it. I mean, it's... Who knows? But, I mean, it's mid-January. Snow, slush, sleet. I mean, sounds like January to me.
Yeah, I mean, you are at the 40th parallel in January, so it usually, you know... And trust me, I mean, I love my conspiracies, and I definitely have some off-the-fucking-wall ones, but that one's even beyond me. So if it's beyond me, that means you're a fucking crackpot, so... But if you want to know the inside story to what Will and I are talking about, subscribe to our Patreon. I'm just kidding, we don't have a Patreon, so... But I still think if we could figure out a way to, like, sell our text messages... Like, you could be part of our text message.
Nobody wants that. Respond.
That'd be fun.
Nobody wants those.
I don't know. Kind of a big deal, Will. But anyways, we both went to the comic book shop. And before I do my big personal reveal here, Will, you mentioned that you had purchased... copy of this week. I also got my two copies.
Yes, you got the
number three.
That's number three, right? That's the A cover. I like the A cover a little more. When I went in, they had the B cover, which is similar. And I was just going to hold it up. I don't have video up right now, but yeah, I really like where the story is going, and I really like how Tenyon writes the dialogue. It feels like actual people are talking.
I wonder how that works.
And it's a big difference compared to, like, I told you about this facsimile copy of Batman Beyond number one, which is like, the dialogue is kind of not it's not great. The dialogue is not great.
Well, speaking of Batman...
But as somebody who got their bachelor's degree in writing, there's a lot of people who struggle writing dialogue.
I am.
And worried. There's only so much you can sit there and be like, people don't talk like that.
Yeah. Well, Will, it's kind of funny that you mentioned Mr. James Tynan in Batman. I don't know if you remember on our trip, I picked the first one up, but probably got number two of this one.
You did.
So they've got all that in the series at the comic book shop, but I didn't want to fork over $100 today.
Yeah. I was kind of towing that line because they have more of the issues. The hardcovers of Berserk, but it's like I can't justify spending $50 on a book right now.
Yeah. Well,
so a couple things today, couple records.
Oh, nice.
And go to the LCS tomorrow.
Yeah, I was trying.
Yeah, I got the new junk aesthetic from Every Time I Die, and I got in the clearance bins. I got Procol Harum's Greatest Hits, and I got a copy of Tubular Bells.
Oh shit, huh?
Yeah.
That's kind of random. What'd you pick that up for? I mean, it's awesome, but I mean.
Why not? I was just trolling around through the sales section. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff in the sales section.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff where it's like, I feel like if I read this name on paper, I would assume somebody's making shit up.
Hmm.
Like Martha and the Muffins.
Yeah.
Swollen Monkey.
Huh. Yeah, because my new friends over at In Madness Pod just did a great review of The Exorcist, and obviously the theme song to The Exorcist is Tubular Bells. So I just thought that was Tubular Bells. And they also, a couple months ago, Hall, I found out about said podcast, did a review of The Mist. Also kind of serendipitous to this conversation. Have you ever seen The Exorcist?
So did you find it? Did you find it because you were looking up stuff about The Mist and then found the podcast?
No, I, what happened was I found, I think, did I find it or did you find it? That picture of, David Drayton with the four bullets and the gun thing. Did I send that to you or did you send that to me?
Oh, the,
like toy thing.
The toy thing.
Yeah.
I think I sent that to you.
Okay, because I forwarded on to this group.
I wasn't paying attention to where it came from. I just saw it, and it's like, ah,
toggle. Okay, yeah, I think you sent it to me, and then I just shared it to another podcast, the Red River podcast, and then these guys are like, oh, that's crazy. We just did a review of this movie, and I'm like, oh, here we go. So, and I finally just listened to that episode because I know we were talking about it, but we don't want to spoil too much because, I don't know, man, I really enjoy that movie, Will. I mean, We'll dive down into it on Sunday, but even if it's got Thomas Jane.
We will. Have you watched The Batman yet?
No. Same podcast, too. Yeah, I did start Batman Killing Joke, though. On HBO.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the Batman's definitely... I just finished... the first season of The Punisher. God damn.
I gotta watch that too. Cause I gotta watch Punisher and I've gotta watch Echo just came out.
And like, I keep forgetting it's on Disney Plus. I'm like, holy fuck, cause it's fucking violent. And that's coming from me. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny cause it's like when you hear ads for Echo, it says like make sure your like settings are set to adult or to mature so that you can stream it. So you don't have some small child going, "Mommy, I want to watch this superhero show."
Yeah.
If I die, go to hell.
Mommy, well, he killed that man.
Yeah. But Sunday had the day off, so just kind of did a whole lot of nothing. And Will, I read the last 300 pages of The Dark Tower. I'm now officially done with the series. 7,302 pages later.
How do you feel? Do you feel like there's a weight off your shoulders now that it's done?
A little bit.
Do you feel a void?
No. Because I jumped right into my next book. I'm almost done with that one. It's an easy read, though. Have you ever seen Boardwalk Empire?
I haven't, but one of my Twitter friends was posting about it the other day about how she felt like it was all everybody talked about when it was on, and then it just kind of like, well, I heard it was really good.
It was okay. The ending was kind of eh. And I know you haven't seen The Wire, but no, yeah, the book I'm reading is an autobiography by Michael K. Williams, and he played Omar in The Wire, and then he was Chalky White in Boardwalk Empire. So it's a heavy book. So, yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's the first time since May of 2020 I don't have a book series I'm in the middle of. Like, I finished all my Daniel Silva books. I finished all my Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan books. Now I finished all these Dark Tower books. Now it's just like, oh, now I'm just reading books because they're, you know, that's what's next on the milk crate. So it was definitely interesting. I can see how people would not like the ending. But then, you know, I hated the ending of The Sopranos when I first watched it. But then when I rewatched it, I'm like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. So.
Yeah, a lot of hubbub about the end of that Sopranos.
What's that?
I said a lot of hubbub about the ending of the Sopranos.
Yeah. I liked it, but I mean, it was just, like I said, for, you know, the Sopranos, well, speaking of investing time, because I watch the Sopranos in real time, so I'm like, I'm waiting, like, you know, 2 years in between fucking seasons. Like, god damn. So that's why I won't do that again. So there's a couple series I have to wait till the end. And I wait till the end to watch Breaking Bad, so. But then you were telling me there's a Stephen King Dark Tower Marvel series, right?
No, the camera's not on. My rude wife who just barges in and tells me to get out of the room without any warning.
Hi, Brittany.
She can't hear you. I've got headphones on.
No, that's true. Both hard.
I'm leaving. She usually sends me a text like, hey, can we swap rooms or something so I can start like unplugging cords and
no,
like.
What do you say?
No, go back to the other room.
No, what do you say?
No, we're not having a marital spat on the podcast.
No, I want to know what he said. I'm not fighting with you, I'm fighting with him.
He said, hi, Brittany. And I said, she can't hear you. I got headphones on.
Tom said, hi. He's nice.
Tom is nice.
That was funny. So, yeah, Dark Tower. I mean, all, and if you throw in The Stand, it's over 8,000 pages. But it was fun. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the horror fantasy stuff, so that stuff kind of messes me up, but, you know.
It's good. I haven't read it. I've heard, I was told I'd like it. My aunt's read it. My aunt's a big Stephen King fan. She's read all those, I think, more than once.
Yeah, people say the readability.
Yes, there is a Marvel published Dark Tower series.
Yeah, and Faith found that at the comic book shop today, so I was like, oh, maybe I'm not over this now. So, yeah, but it's kind of fun.
I mean, you don't have to commit to all of it either, right? You could pick a couple and see how they adapted it and be like, you know, I won't see how they do this.
What was that? Sorry, broke up a little bit.
I said, you can always grab like a trade or something and just kind of like see if it hits the same spot. Cause I mean, you could read it and be like, not really doing it for me. Yeah. You might even be able to get it through your public library.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably end up getting them. So, you know, it's just something different. So now that I'm into the comic books, and it was just kind of ironic that, you know, I finished it and then, yeah, Faith's like, oh, look, there's more for you. I'm like, man.
There's always more. I pre-ordered a series the other day because I saw it was coming out. I'm like, you know, that sounds really interesting. And I was posting about it in one of the groups I'm in, and they're like, oh, well, did you get the other series that, like, is the side-by-side companion series? It goes from the other character's point of view. I said, well, son of a bitch, I guess I've got to get that, too. Wasn't on the list. Wasn't planning on it. Wasn't planning on this. Like, every time I say, I got subscriptions winding down, series are going to be, you know, I'm going to have less on my plate.
Nope.
It's like one ends and like three more roll in. It's like, this is why I need the filing cabinet.
Yeah. Yeah. So God damn it. Basic marketplace, you know, find Will a goddamn filing cabinet that's within, you know, 700 miles of your house.
I mean, there's some, it's a lot of them are in mass, and it's like, I don't really want to drive like an hour for it. You know what I mean?
Especially why Joe Biden's president. You want him driving that far because you never know what the weather's going to do.
The inflation. Because, like, if I go to Amazon, right, and I just look up a filing cabinet, like, of the top three that it shows me, only one of them is under $100 for a two-drawer filing cabinet. I mean, one of them is pretty spiffy. But at the same time, it's like, or I can go to Facebook Marketplace and I can get one. And like a lot of them go for like 80, but it's like I go to Facebook Marketplace and get one for 25.
Yeah, you could probably find one at a thrift shop too.
Yeah. Just keeping my eyes peeled. The owner of my comic shop said that if I find that I'm missing anything, to let him know and he can try to reorder stuff. So it's like, I need to like go through and take stock of what I got.
Yeah.
To even see if I am missing stuff. Because there's some stuff it's like, am I missing this or do I just not remember picking it up? Because I pick up so much. I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta call the other shop because I get the shop I go to is related to the Spider-Man shop, but the Spider-Man shop's the main one. But I gotta call them about pre-ordering that Daniel Warren Johnson Justice League King Kong Godzilla thing. So keep forgetting to do that. So that's number six too, I think, right?
I believe that's what you said. Yeah.
Yeah, because number four just came out, so.
Sure did.
But Will, I think we have a couple of questions of dishonor this week, don't we?
Yeah, I guess we do, right? Yeah. We have questions from SJ at Carnival of Chaos and from All Reliable, UTT Rob. How do we want to go through these?
Well, since we got
Do we want to do one of SJ's, Rob's, and the other one of SJ's, or do we want to do SJ's and then Rob's?
Yeah, let's do an SJ sandwich, I think. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. So SJ's first question. From long ago, January 11th, almost 1 week ago.
Yeah, we had no snow.
Siblings as tag teams are very common nowadays. What are your guys' pair of siblings versus pair of siblings dream match? Any wrestling promotion?
Interesting. I mean the dream match was, you know, and we'll get to it here in a couple of years, but just watching the Young Bucks and the Briscoes was always magic.
I mean, what more? I mean, I feel like that's, what other answer could there be?
I think, obviously, you know, this is the 1 year anniversary of Jake Briscoe's, you know, death. And before we start recording, Mark, I watched the Mark Briscoe promo, and, you know, Will gets on the call and I'm fucking crying my eyes out because of fucking Mark Briscoe, cocksucker. I mean that in the nicest way possible. I'm trying to think of sibling tag teams. There's the Creed Brothers in NXT.
That was my thing, is trying to think of teams that are actually
siblings.
Brothers?
I just found out 5 years ago that all the Andersons weren't actually related. So Ole and Arn Anderson aren't actually related. You know, obviously you got the Usos.
So in our swimming pool, right, we got Briscoes, we got Usos. I mean, Briscoes, Usos could have been good shit.
Yeah.
If we want to, if time isn't an issue, I mean, we could bring in, like, Von Erichs.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, temporarily, right, there's the MLW Von Erichs.
Yeah.
I've never seen him wrestle, so I don't know if they're any good or not. But you know, I know Tony likes him.
I'm gonna cheat here a little bit and ask the Google machine.
Wow.
Nick and Ryan Nemeth.
Ooh. If only Ryan Nemeth was any good. I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'm sure he's great.
I mean, yeah, there's Cody and Dustin.
They're funny examples. I know they're brothers, but I feel like they don't strike me as brothers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes sense, like Mark and Jay were like obviously brothers. Cody and Dustin, it's like I know they're siblings, but it's like I don't know if it's just because I think Dustin, I think Goldust, and it's like I can't think about him being like.
Well, there's such a big age difference.
Huge age difference.
Because I, you know, and not to be this guy, because I mean, I was kind of out of wrestling. I heard Cody Rhodes is wrestling. I just assumed he was Dustin's son. Because he was wrestling, obviously, with Ted DiBiase Jr. and Randy Orton, you know, and Dustin was kind of, you know, was wrestling at the same time. You know, Dustin was wrestling with Ted DiBiase, you know, at that same time. So. You know, I didn't know Booker T and Stevie Ray from Harlem Heat were actual brothers.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, hi, Smokes. What are you doing there, kiddo? Sticking your butt in my face? Obviously, we're not going to talk about the... I mean, there's the Steiner brothers.
Jay and Mark. Oh, man. Briscoe Steiner brothers? Let's... take my money.
Yeah, I was a big Steiner Brothers fan as a kid. Kind of shitting a bed on this question. I'm thinking current day.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I feel like we haven't even started shitting until we got to Rob's question, so.
Yeah. I mean, Roosh and Dragon Lee aren't a tag team right now, but that would be fun.
But they were.
They're bad. a fun match would be the Creed brothers versus the Steiners too.
I've never seen a Creed brother match, so I wouldn't.
Oh, really? Those kids are good. One of them is like a lot better than the other, but I mean they're definitely a lot, Brock Lesnar light for sure, in a good way. But I think my ultimate answer, I think, is the Steiner Brothers versus Mark and Jay.
I just think works for me. Yeah, the actual sibling tag teams, because with a lot of the teams that come to mind, that's like, oh, they're brothers. Like, oh, they're not actually brothers, though, are they?
like you kind of think FTR are brothers, but they're just, you know, but they're not.
Right, they almost strike me more as brothers than like Cody and Dustin.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Hart Foundation, I mean, they weren't technically brothers. I think the Anvil was married to one of Brett's sisters, I think. Does that count? Yeah, like we had that picture that you commented on earlier, Facebook, like, you know, Hawk and Animal, they weren't brothers either.
Nope. I'd never seen Hawk without the gimmick on.
Yeah, and Nikita Koloff's really not a Russian. Who knew?
Nope, all the WWF Russians are just from the Midwest.
Yeah. So, well, SJ, sorry we did not get to your question earlier. But hopefully that suffices. I mean, you know.
I can see Scott. It's all right. It's my fault. I said I was going to do something about this question of dishonor, cleaning up stuff, being more present on social media, and I've just been out to lunch as far as that goes.
I mean, we should really just hire SJ to do our social media in general, but
I feel like I just need to set a timer or like set a chunk of time out of my day. It's like, this is going to be my Ring of Honor Revelry social media hour.
Yeah, I got to be better at that too. But what's Rob's question this week?
All right, Tom, how familiar are you, know, everybody's pretty familiar with Batman's rogue gallery.
Oh.
How familiar are you with the Flash's rogue gallery?
Because
Rob says, with all the Flash talk on 1.107, who from the Ring of Honor 2014 roster would you cast in roles of Flash villains, Captain Cold, the Trickster, etc.?
Oh.
So we can tag team this one. So the if we're talking Flash villains, the ones I feel like we need to talk are would be Gorilla Grodd. I'm pretty sure it's a Flash villain. At least he is in the new one. Which, again, is a bummer. I read the first issue of the new Flash series, and I'm like, yeah, this is okay. But I didn't keep pulling it, and now I've heard it's really good, but now we're like six issues in, and I'm like, I can't commit to that many. So we have a Gorilla Grodd, so super intelligent gorilla.
Wait, Tony Z is a fucking villain in the Flash, Magenta?
Whoa. Magenta. Got some splaining to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, I pulled it up here because, unfortunately, I don't know shit about the Flash, but
you got Captain Cold, who's like discount Mr. Freeze. You got Captain Boomerang, who's an Australian guy who throws boomerangs.
Bet TMDK isn't around anymore, but I mean, this Gorilla Grodd guy, I mean, definitely that's got to be Michael Elgin, right?
I mean, if you want to say that Michael Elgin's a hyper intelligent gorilla,
oh,
he I mean, he's probably the only one that really fits, unless, because Steen isn't really like Steen's not dumb, but he's not like evil genius level either. Truth Martini as a hyper intelligent gorilla would be something.
All right.
There's a robot. So the trickster who's like kind of like a Joker. The Justice League animated series had him be like, he's kind of mentally ill where he doesn't necessarily realize that he's like put on the costume and has gone out like doing stuff.
I'm going to say Matt Taven.
Semi problematic, but realistically, not really that big of a problem.
Am I an asshole if I book the Black Flash as Jay Lethal?
Why? Because he's black? Wow.
I'm just kind of, you know.
And there's Zod. They're not. I think his name. His name's not Zod.
There's a Zoom.
There's like an evil inverse Flash.
Reverse Flash.
What's this fucking name? It's gonna piss me off. I don't remember. I just rewatched all these DC animated shit not that long ago. I should know this. Because part of me, I want to say Zod, but Zod is from, yeah, Superman. That ain't right.
All right, I'm going to look up. I'm going to look up through the cat here.
Reverse Flash. So Reverse Flash is Flash from an alternate world where he's a bad guy.
I mean, Captain Cold, I mean, that sounds like fucking Jimmy Jacobs to me.
Yeah, he throws on a parka. He's got a little ice laser gun.
Yeah. All right, so I got Jimmy Jacobs as Captain Cold. I got Matt Taven as...
BJ Whitmer kind of has Reverse Flash vibes.
Okay. Especially with what's going on now, huh?
Yeah. There's a really cool one. I don't remember the name of... So... Spoiler alert for Flashpoint. I mean, it came out like 20 years ago, so I guess. Sorry if this is a spoiler, but towards the end of Flashpoint, he gets shot by Thomas Wayne. Because in the Flashpoint universe, Bruce dies in the alleyway, Martha Wayne becomes the Joker, and Thomas Wayne becomes Batman. So Thomas Wayne shoots Reverse Flash. And in one of the animated films, he's Reverse Flash is still alive and he's using the Speed Force to pretty much keep his brain from bleeding out. But he drips on occasion because if he doesn't like have his pure attention on it, the bullet will keep going through his brain. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we're not shitting the bed on Rob's question this time. Maybe we're doing all right.
I mean, you're definitely kind of leading the way here, so. All right. Black Flash, not Jay Lethal.
But this is going to sound terrible. I'm not super Flash heavy. Is Black Flash, though, really just a Black Flash?
The Black Flash is a fictional comic book character. La da da da. Well, he basically fulfills the same role as Death, it says. For those who possess super speed in the DC universe, return the speedster to their power source, the Speed Force. Ooh! Actually, I mean, that does sound like Jay Lethal, to be honest with you.
Ooh, created by Grant Morrison and Mark Millar?
Yeah.
Mark Millar is kind of at this point, but Grant Morrison is aces. So it's Death.
Yeah. So yeah, and Jay Lethal there is Black Flash, the Death.
Certainly bores me to death. Hey.
Oh, that was a
got him.
Good segue, by the way, Will.
Got him.
You know, I mean, you're gonna have to watch a lot of Jay Lethal here for the next 3 or 4 years, by the way, Will. So.
There's a lot of Flash for the rest of the time we, or not a lot of Flash, a lot of Jay Lethal for the rest of the time we do this podcast.
Yep. And I'm okay with that, but yeah, I mean, as always, thank you, Rob.
Maybe I'll come around on it. You know, who knows? Maybe I got to read more Flash.
There's so, listen, I mean, yeah, just, I mean, kind of circling back.
My biggest exposure to the Flash was I had a coworker named Sam, and his kids had a guinea pig, and the guinea pig's name was the Flash.
Interesting. But as always, like I said, if you're not listening to Rob's podcast and everything, like I said, they are done with their first season of Unstacking the Territory, so they're going back, him and Dan are going back to their first and last of wrestling. So make sure you are following them. And if you're not following, I know a lot of the high fivers are following Untanking the Territory on Twitter. It's a great read if you need a fucking daily laugh. That's good for that. So thanks for that. But SJ's got a second question, I believe.
Yes, and SJ's other question is it's pizza time, Tom. If we're making our own perfect pizza based on ROH wrestlers' personalities, what wrestlers would be what toppings? So her example is Jay Briscoe would be pepperoni because he's got a strong and spicy personality. I mean, so we not only have to assign talent to pizza toppings, but they have to come together on the pizza. I mean, I think we know what the true question here is. Like, if you read between the lines, who's the pineapple on the pizza, Tom? Which, full disclosure, love me some pineapple on pizza.
I don't love pineapple on pizza, but I got no heat with it.
If somebody shows up at my front door with a gluten-free crust, bacon, jalapeno, pineapple, I'll do probably whatever you ask me to.
You lost me in jalapeno, but everything else I'm in on.
Oh, you got the sweet, the heat, the salt. Oh, so yeah. Good.
You know me, Will. I can't do the heat.
I mean, Jay Lethal obviously would be black olives.
I was going to say green peppers, but why do they have to be black olives, Will? Why can't they be green olives?
Because black olives suck. Green olives on a pizza? Get the fuck out of here. Who's putting green olives on a pizza? You people probably did. People from America? Fun fact, pizza is how I knew I had Crohn's and celiac.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Shouts out to Pam's Pizza and Subs in Swanton, Vermont. They're making cheeseburger pizza. It was so good. Like, I can still remember, like, the crust, everything. Like, it's so vivid in my mind. But that is the thing that, like, triggered, like, bad. I got so sick after eating it. So good, though.
All right, well, I don't do this very often, but I'm definitely vetoing Jay Lethal in the black olives, and I'm definitely giving Jay Lethal the green peppers.
I guess that's fine.
I don't know why I'm feeling this is kind of inappropriate, but for some odd reason, I'm envisioning Tommaso Ciampa as the sauce because he's been definitely kind of saucy lately.
That's also a very. Do you consider sauce a pizza topping?
No, I guess not.
Because I mean, you could have different. It's kind of almost more like the base, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's different sauces.
Unless I mean. There's the, what is it, the Chicago style where they put the sauce on top?
Yeah.
Like all the cheese and whatever is like casseroled underneath.
All right. What else we got? We didn't even figure out who the pineapple is yet, huh?
Who's the pineapple? It works there. But a lot of people don't... It's contentious. Oh, Mabel.
Not the romantic touch.
I can't wait to talk about that, by the way.
Yeah, and I was 8 years old and I figured out he didn't have to change out his initials on his tights, but we'll get to that here in a minute. Why am I envisioning Adam Page as the pineapple? Just sweet, you know, reliable, you know, good filler.
I mean, Jimmy Jacobs had some words about him being a choice this week, right? So, I mean, I could see that.
Okay, so we read between the lines. We got the main question. So we got Jake Briscoe as pepperoni. I mean, what else do you put on your pizza?
I mean, shit, it depends. Like I said, my go-to is the bacon pineapple jalapeno. But then you have the Miko Maestro, which is the pepperoni jalapeno. Right? Is that what it was?
I think so. Was it bacon or Canadian bacon?
For me, it's like American bacon.
Okay. Canadian bacon is basically just ham, right?
Yeah. Some pork roll for our New Jersey contingency.
Hmm. All right. Who's bacon?
This is gonna sound like such a fat ass thing to say, but my favorite pizza right now. It's from his place in town called Ricochet's. Pew, pew! God, it's going to make me sound so fat. The white sauce, broccoli, chicken. I approach to get chicken, broccoli, Alfredo. Or no, it's ranch. Chicken, bacon, ranch, and broccoli. And ranch sauce instead of the red sauce.
Dude, that actually sounds relatively healthy. I don't know where... No, what are you talking about, Will?
Well, the ranch isn't terribly healthy. It's delicious. One day I got two of them and I ate them both. And yeah. It was one of those things where I could eat more than one, but two was probably too much. And then less than an hour later, Brittany's like, hey, do you want to meet me somewhere and grab dinner? It's like, oh, no.
I am not leaving.
All we did, we went to Red Robin. I put down some food there, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's why we're friends, Will. All right, who's the bacon here?
Is it Mark Briscoe?
No, he's the chicken.
You got me there. Would it be Silas Young because he's salty?
Ooh. Yeah. All right. So we got Silas. So we got Adam Page. We've got, I don't like green peppers on my pizza. We got Adam Page. We got Silas. We got Jay Briscoe. Hey, smokes.
So we would assign somebody to be jalapeno. So right now, like my go-to pizza would be a Silas Young, Adam Page, and whoever is jalapenos.
Spicy, and I think I don't really hate anybody in Ring of Honor right now. Oh, smokes. Say hi to Uncle Will.
No, too busy. Got cat shit to do.
Yep. Yeah, she's here today. Yeah, she smokes. All right, so who's the jalapeno?
I mean, would it be Matt Hardy? All the heat.
Ooh, well done.
Man, my pizza doesn't sound as good anymore if I think about it as a Adam Page, Silas Young, Matt Hardy pizza. There you
go. I Damn. Think it will. It's the ASM pizza. So next time you go to the pizza shop, order for ASM pizza.
One time, Brittany sent me out, and she wanted me to get these loaded French fries from this place called Blue House that's around the corner from where our apartment is. So she asked for these loaded fries and pickles. But when I read the text, I read the pickles as one of the things she wanted on the loaded French fries.
Did they put
she said it wasn't bad.
I mean, pickles are good on everything. You ever had pickles on pizza?
I haven't tried the pickles on pizza, but I do like Brittany says she loves pickles, but she's not a lover of all pickles. She doesn't like sweet pickles, whereas like, oh, fuck her out. Any pickle, like bring it here. You got some bread and butters, bring it over here. You got some zesty garlics, bring it over here.
Yeah, I forgot. We gotta get Aunt Money
her back. Favorite one. We got these spicy ones that she likes, but they're small batch. So you get a jar, it might be like, ooh, this is mint. And then you get the next jar, and you're like, yeah, this one could be a little better.
Yeah, we got some spicy pickles in our fridge right now. Then, yeah, face got to work on it because they're a little much for me. But, yeah, we got to get Aunt Money back on the show. Got to ask him about his thoughts on olives. I forgot to ask him, so. Bless you, smokes.
Do you put green olives on your pizza?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I would. I probably have.
Like, I know you could. It's one of those things where, like, I know you could, but it's like, for whatever reason, like, black olives are the only olives I think of when I think about, like, a hot food application. Like, when I think green olives, I'm thinking more like hors d'oeuvres or, like, snack kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Ooh, green olives on pizza.
Get one of those big bastards that has like the whole clove of garlic in the middle and you just go.
Can you put green olives on a pizza? Wow.
I mean, you can put anything you want on a pizza.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of vegan pizzas will put green olives to the black olives. I don't know why, but
olives.
Olives rule the world. But obviously, thank you, SJ, former guest of the show, and look on some future SJ and Hi-Fi Tom content coming in the very near future here. But make sure you follow SJ at the Carnival of Chaos. She is pretty much our social media guru here on there, so she's always supporting us on social media because neither Will and I are very good at it. So, Will, I know.
Is she our biggest fan?
I don't know if you really want to qualify that because that's the worst, you know.
Right. I don't want to make waves, but
she's definitely our biggest fan via Twitter, if that makes sense. I mean, she posts more about us than we do, so.
She does. Like I said, I'm going to start setting aside an hour every day where I just go on and start shit, and I'll start signing off on all the posts as Tom, so just in case I catch the meat.
The dash 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 H5T. I know we have one more question, Dishonor, but we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to get into that because I have a feeling we're going to deep dive into that question. That's going to lead us right into TV. But before we do here, I just want to shout out all the great shows here on Visionaries Global Media. There is a new Phoenix Splash podcast episode that came out this week. So make sure you're checking that out. The band from Ringside did their Beefer Awards, even though they shit all over my ZSJ as the most underrated wrestler for 2023, but that's neither here nor there. Brainbuster Boys are hopefully coming back soon. Matt Ryan and Graham are over at Good Cop, Bad Cop. I know Chan Diesel are hopefully doing a final view from the top of the goalpost. Big things going on at the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup. But make sure you check out all the great shows here on the Shining Wizards Network. And we will catch everybody on the other side for Brundon's Question of Dishonor and some Ring of Honor TV.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is radioactive metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
One. All right, high fivers, we're back, and let's make sure you enjoy all the great shows are on the Shining Wizards Network. But Will, we've got one more question of dishonor from the third member of Ring of Honor Revelry, our good friend Brundon, who is also on Shining Wizards this week. Make sure you check that out. Sporting a very, very Green Bay Packers hat if you weren't watching.
Oh my goodness, what is happening?
What was that?
It didn't stop. Oh my god, it won't go away. Oh my god, what is happening? Okay.
But real quick, our question from Brundon is
It's booking our own top prospect tournament for 2024 Ring of Honor.
Could be anyone that's
not signed to a major fed.
So I did a unique spin on mine, but I'm going to bust out Brundon's here real quick. All right, here's my tournament, boys. Alex Price versus Mysterious Q from Texas. Shane Mercer versus Darius Carter. Jordan Oliver versus the one called Manders, and Mal from DT versus Atticus Kroger. And then we've got Alex Price and Jordan Oliver going on, and Shane Mercer versus Mal both going forward. And then Alex Price over Mercer in the finals. Both are so good. And yeah, Shane Mercer is a fucking beast. Coming to a local show here in the near future. Also, by the way, Mr. Shane Mercer, I just can't mention who.
He's a strong fella.
Yeah.
He's what some would call a specimen.
Yeah, for sure. So, what are you doing, Smokes? What are you doing? We'll do treats after I'm done talking to Will. Come here. All right, Will. So I have my 8 entrants, but I haven't booked the tournament yet. But you want to do yours first?
I can do mine. All right. Here's my top prospect tournament. I don't know how what folks are going to think of this, but here's my rundown. I've got Warhorse.
Ooh, good pick.
And we're just going to rip off this Band-Aid, right? I said in the group chat that there's one that I picked purely just because I find them grossly entertaining. And I'm also trying to build the story for this, for all this stuff here.
Yeah.
So Warhorse, his opponent in the first round is Great Opossum.
That's awesome.
We got Warhorse is kind of on a tear now. I'm not totally sure if he's necessarily a heel, but you know, he's kind of ditched the heavy metal, like red and gold, goofy, Slim Jim, whatever.
Yeah, because he's not even doing the makeup anymore, is he?
No, and it's been really cool. So he's paired off against Great Opossum. The disrespect he feels to be paired off against some goofy character like the Great Opossum. So like he's going to like pull the tail. He's going to probably curb stomp Joey. Like, he's just going to be a real monster about it. And speaking of monsters, our next round matchup, we have a fellow named Mortar
who is from the New England area. Kind of like a Michael, kind of short, stocky. He does a couple top rope moves, but just kind of big, strong man.
Okay.
And I've got him paired off against O'Shea Edwards.
Ooh, shit. Grammar like that.
So, fella named Mortar taking on the American Kaiju, and the American Kaiju is going to go over to face Warhorse in the next round.
Nice. All right.
Next, we've got... We got bills to pay and bounties to collect. I've got CPA against the bounty hunter, Brian Keith.
Oh, shit.
And CPA, you know, it's great for everybody's going to have a great laugh. But the bounty hunter is going to collect on CPA. Moving on to the semifinal matchup. And then I also have Alec Price in my tournament because... I mean, it's been brought up on the show before, but Alec Price is really fucking good. And I've got him going. I hemmed and hawed about who I wanted to have in this last spot. Because it was either going to be I was going to cycle out Mortar or I was going to cycle out this guy. Because I kind of wanted to put Dan Barry in.
Okay.
But I figured I'd go with somebody, no offense, Mr. Bear, somebody a little younger. So kind of like, this is kind of my I love you to the Massachusetts area scene. So I've got Alec Price and JT Dunn.
Oh, nice.
And Alec Price is going to go over there, face the bounty hunter in the next round. I have Warhorse overcoming the odds, taking down the American Kaiju, and he's going to face the bounty hunter in the finals.
Ooh, okay.
I haven't decided. Because as much as I would love for Warhorse to go over, I just don't know if I could put Warhorse over Brian Keith.
I mean, does it make a different choice if we know Brian Keith is pretty much signed with AEW / Ring of Honor?
I mean, I still feel like I could do Warhorse because that would just be like the cementing of this change was the good change.
Yeah.
So Warhorse Jake Parnell goes over and
is your 2024 top prospect Ring of Honor tournament winner?
Yes, sir.
Nice. All right. Well, me being Mr. McSmarky Pants, unfortunately, this list is going to not go over most people's heads. But I picked all ICW Milwaukee wrestlers. In a top prospect tournament. Several of these are former guests of several of our shows. But I've got in the first round, I've got CJ Cole versus Marvelous Ethan Matthews. I've got the Outlaw Saya Kendricks taking on Sierra, a first female in the top prospect tournament. Then I've got Chucky Bates going on against the Spectre Jade Mercer. And then in a tag teams explode match, I got Hua Ming versus Josiah Ventura from TAU. First match, I've got CJ Cole going over Ethan Matthews by the skin of his teeth. Then I've got ICW Milwaukee World Champion Zach Hendricks defeating Sierra. And then in a hell of a match, I got Chucky Bates going over former ICW Milwaukee Champion Jaden Mercer to go to the semifinals. And then Hua Ming beats his tag team partner Josiah by the skin of his teeth. So then in the semifinals, I got CJ Cole upsetting Zach Hendricks. And then I've got Chucky Bates beating Hua. And then in the finals, Chucky Bates versus CJ Cole, a match you can see in the real life sometime in the near future. I got CJ Cole going over, and CJ Cole is your 2024 Ring of Honor Reverie Top Prospect Champion. So, yeah, that's what I got, Will. So, and we are going to do our Women of Honor tournament via Twitter one of these days. I know we've been talking about that, Will, for what, about a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Your boy High Five Tom or maybe SJ can help us out. We just gotta figure out how to do a poll on Twitter. And then
I think you can just I wanna say it's like Facebook where you just kinda type out like a question. I think it gives you the prompt to do poll.
Really? Okay.
Oh, so like if you go to compose Tom, so if you go to compose a tweet, right?
Yeah.
And then that little bar where it has like the slots for where it has like to add an image or whatever, there's looks like a little bullet points. If you click that, it'll say ask a question, you can put choices down. This is easy.
Has it really been this easy the entire time?
Yeah.
All right, what's happening? So, where do I go?
All right, so Tom,
oh my God, right where it says poll?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck right off.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. How do we want to do this, Will? Warzen, I get to submit four women, you were going to submit four women, and Bruno's going to submit four women?
So that'd be 12? So that means, I mean, we could do 12, but that means somebody would get...
Because you'd have a three, you could have a three-way dance for a final.
Three-way dance for a final, or somebody gets a bye.
Yeah. Do we want to ask the high fivers for four? Yeah.
So would it be like we each pick our four and then kind of like the four honorable mentions go or the honorable mentions go up and then people vote in?
I don't know. Let me sleep on it.
We'll figure it out. Good thing we don't have a deadline for this.
No, because that probably would have expired about 18 months. That was probably episode like 21, 22. but we're just doing, obviously, women that aren't in WWE in 2014, right? It's probably really the only requirement.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Sweet. All right, we're gonna make this happen, Will. So we're gonna book the first Woman of Honor 2014 finally. But before we do that, Will, we actually have a rather interesting episode of TV. Ring of Honor TV episode 122. We're still in Nashville. Original air date January 18th. So 10 years ago today, as we record, 2014. But real quick, so we got Steve Carino, Kevin Kelly on the call. We're still in Nashville. We got an open around tournament.
And I would say, and Prince Nana. Prince Nana's at the booth too.
Yep, Prince Nana's there because we do have a couple right off the bat of top prospect tournaments. But the aforementioned Romantic Touch takes on Andrew Everett. Will, are you kind of familiar with Andrew Everett at all?
I feel like I am. Have we seen him on Ring of Honor prior?
So.
The name is definitely familiar. The name definitely rings a bell.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think he's like 20. I mean, he's been pro since 07. I should have wrote this down, but he's only like 21. So that means he's 31 right now in the real life. I'm pretty sure
Some grind. He did some AEW.
Him
and Trevor Lee were attached at the hip for a long time. Is he still wrestling? It's gotta be.
Andrew Everett's still wrestling. They've got him down for under January 18th, 2024. They've got him down for Honor Club 47, TNA Impact, and WWE Main Event.
Motherfucker is born in 1992.
So he's a year younger than me.
Yeah, he's a former Impact World Champion. Yeah, because him and Trevor Lee were pretty tight. And I know they did a bunch of shit.
That's where I know the name from.
Yeah.
He was really good. He kind of has a Chris Hero-ish look to him. And then the Romantic Touch.
And you're pretty familiar with the Romantic Touch in general, aren't you, Will? It's kind of right up your alley.
I started dabbling in Ring of Honor a bit around the time of this tournament. The Romantic Touch. So, do we want to jump ahead and talk about, are we going to address the elephant in the room about how they addressed who the Romantic Touch is?
Yeah, if you...
I can't tell if I like it or not. I'm a little torn on it, right? Because we're coming out of these post scum shenanigans, right? And it's like Steve Carino's time, like, oh, I haven't been around, you know? I don't know what's what happened. And
Claudio Castagnoli just beat Andrew Everett on TV last week.
Yeah. It's on the cage match.
Interesting. Hey, man.
Sorry, Steve Carino post scum has kind of like not acknowledged that scum happened.
Right. Which cracks me the fuck up.
It's part of the settlement that Veda Scott helped him get, right? So it was kind of weird that during this match that Veda Scott comes out and says this tournament is a farce. Because she said she wasn't in it. Artie Evans wasn't in it. And she's like, it's Rhett Titus in a mask. And she points out, Carino points out on commentary, he's like, he's got RT on the trunks. And then one point does a drop kick, like, wow, what a drop kick. So I don't know how I feel about the fact that they just had Veda Scott just come right out and be like, that's Rhett Titus in a mask. Like, they didn't even let it go for like a week and have her be like, guys, it's Rhett Titus. Like, come on.
Yeah, and I can't believe, listen, I didn't put two and two together over the RT right off the bat. I don't know how I missed that. Yeah, real quick, I mean, solid match, you know, but in the end, you know, the Romantic Touch starts thrusting his hips over at Veda, you know, more sexual assault here going on in Ring of Honor. And there's a Prince Nana.
Oh, he's blowing kisses and stuff. He's blowing kisses and stuff, and Steve Carino's like, I think you're pregnant now.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, wow, okay then. And then there's a lot of smack in the buttocks. But in the end, you know, Andrew Everett rolls up Rhett Titus, and
Romantic Touch.
Romantic Touch, I'm sorry. Is rolled up, and Andrew Everett is going over, and he is facing the winner of our next match, which is Warbeard Hansen versus Cheeseburger in a first-round matchup. But before we get there, we had a real quick replay of Final Battle, you know, when Whitmer was hugging.
I just want to
oh, sorry.
Say, like, this was a really good match.
A lot of cool moves from Andrew Everett. The move that stuck out the most to me, though, was the back springboard elbow thing that Romantic Touch did, that just, like, where you, like, shot backwards off the rope into the back elbow and just, like, crushed the kid. I was like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good match. You know, and this will be a common theme for the show, a bit short for my liking. I wonder if we're going to go to this four-match format going forward, Will. But we'll discuss that after we kind of go over everything. But anything here else? I'm sorry, I kind of skipped over a bunch of Will, but anything else from that match before we go on? My bad.
No, I know we just talked a lot about the right Titus Manning touch stuff. I didn't, just didn't want to get away from the fact that this was a really good match.
Yeah. And listen, in my defense, listen, while I was doing my rewatch, I was a bit distracted, so I did not get through this as much as I should have. I got kind of stuck working a little bit later.
It might be my match of the year so far.
Wow.
For Ring of Honor TV in 2024 so far, I think it's my match of the year.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But next we get a replay of you know, the whole BJ Whitmer sharing you know, hugging Eddie Edwards and Eddie Edwards' last match in Ring of Honor and BJ Whitmer's retirement match. And Will, you know, like, showing this in the replay, this is better done than I remembered watching in Final Battle.
They did a nice job slapping it all together.
Yeah, like Eddie Edwards' expression was really, really, he kind of gave it away, but they said, I mean, yeah, but the decade is born, and then we kind of get an explanation what the decade is and what they're all about and all that good stuff. And then after that, we get another promo from Jay Briscoe. Obviously, as we record, this is the one-year anniversary of his passing. So, Jay, obviously, we still miss you. You know, he's still claiming to be the real champ. Calls Adam Cole a bunch of naughty words I can't say on TV. And then Adam Cole comes out, answers the channels, basically calls Jay a redneck. And then Steve Corino was like, oh, my God, he just said the R word. And, you know, basically Adam Cole says, you know, everyone sucks dick except for Matt Hardy. He's the greatest. And Adam Cole will answer, give Jay an answer to his challenge. And then he says he's going to do it next week. You have to wait till next week. We'll find out if Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole are going to wrestle. What a cliffhanger, huh?
Yeah, Adam. Well, they said that on commentary that there's going to be a match, right? It's going to be Adam Cole, Matt Hardy against Elgin, and Chris Hero against the Briscoes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's in Pittsburgh, right? Our next pay-per-view?
Yes.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah, I totally missed that. So, yeah, I kind of screwed the pooch on this week. High fiver. Sorry. It's been...
Yeah, Adam Cole comes out and says, you know, that's a toy. Like, and Steve Green's like, he's the disputed champion. Not undisputed. He's the disputed champion.
Yeah, and then he says something like, it can't grow legs and crawl to you or something. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But
I don't know either. But, I mean, like I said, there was a lot of stuff censored out on Jay Briscoe's part. Kind of like, I didn't watch Wizards this week in real time, but there was, like, things bleeped out. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, because I listened to it on Spotify and there was stuff like edited out, like bleeped out. I'm like, what is going
on? Really? Oh. Okay, then. We'll talk about that off air. I think that's interesting. But we have another top prospect tournament. We have, obviously, you know, a kid from the ROH JoJo, Mr. Cheeseburger versus Hanson. You know, and Steve Corino makes a cracker here real quick. I don't know if you caught this, Bill, but Corino says, Cheeseburger looks like the fifth ring post. I was like, oof. Eish. But obviously, Cheeseburger, since, you know, breaking away from his Charlie Haas feud, has been teaming up with Brutal Bob, and they're the Brutal Burgers. And for some odd reason, I don't hate that name. But Cheeseburger put up a good fight here for roughly probably, what do you say, I think, Will, about 35, 40 seconds. And then
Before he got leveled with that heel kick.
Yeah, pretty much Warbeard Hanson pretty much kicks Cheeseburger's head into the third row. And going on to the semifinals is Wardbeard Hansen. And him versus Andrew Everett, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup. You know, we're not going to spoil who wins there or anything, but it's definitely going to be a clash of styles there for sure. So, but yeah, I mean, Cheeseburger, I mean, looked good for a couple seconds, but I mean, this is all intents and purposes. I mean, as it should be. I mean, Warbeard's.
Yeah.
Monster. But next we've got Adam Page versus Mark Briscoe. And then the decade come out because they're kind of, trying to court Mark Briscoe. And Mark ain't having it. And then Page or Jimmy Jacobs said something to Adam Page. And I don't remember, did Page slap Jimmy or Jimmy slap Page? I think Page slapped Jimmy and then they beat him down, right?
Yeah, I feel like I missed him because I wasn't watching this on Double Feature. I just feel like all of a sudden, like, Teddy Long was there. The spirit of Teddy Long. And all of a sudden it was a tag match player.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a fight breaks out and Mark comes to you know, they beat the Decade are beating up Adam Page and then Mark, you know, comes to rescue and then and like Will said, it turned into a tag match. It was Adam Page and Mark Briscoe versus BJ and Jacobs. And obviously this is something I really wish was a little bit longer. Let this match breathe a little bit, but Mark and Adam Page would be a fun tag team. I wonder if they stick together a little bit here. I did love Mark did the Cactus Jack elbow on the outside. If you forgot, have a nice day, haven't you? I know I've asked you this
before. I've never actually finished it.
It's really fucking good, Will. It's probably one of
it
my
is really good.
It's one of my favorite autobiographies, period. I'm not even talking wrestling autobiographies, but yeah, and then Steve Corino makes a good point. You know, it says Jimmy Jacobs and Roddy have always kind of, always never claimed to be good guys. They've always kind of been assholes. But BJ Whitmer, was the real dick in all this because, he was playing the good guy, I'm the nice guy, I'm going to retire and everything. So, and Carino just lights up. It's like, I told you people, I've always hated BJ Whitmer. I wasn't wrong. Look at this piece of shit. So, Roddy got on the call for a little bit, says a bunch of crazy shit. I really kind of loved it. I love how he said he should be the highest paid person in Ring of Honor, period, bar none. But in the end, BJ Whitmer, Jacobs hit that, it looked like a front body slam into a cutter thing on Adam Page for the win. Looked like a kind of a nasty finisher. But Will, what'd you think of this match, and especially the commentary? I loved Roddy, his little shtick here on commentary.
I dug it. I dug this match. I dug, we just got done talking about the video package, like, and how they cut together, like, the old, like, it was mostly, like, Jimmy Jacobs with, like, he's been there for 10 years, so it shows, like, the old footage of Jimmy Jacobs, and it's Roger Strong commentary being like, I should be the highest paid person here. He's like, I've been here, I've done all this stuff.
Yeah. For sure. So, really, really enjoy. I enjoyed it. Like I said, with them going to the four-match format, obviously, things are gonna be a little shorter. But next, we get a quick clip here of last week, and we see Cliff Compton attacking Kevin Steen, and Kevin Steen's all fired up. He's like, Cliff, you remember? There's a reason they call me Steen Kill Steen. You've got my attention here. I'm gonna whip your ass. So. Pretty much everybody from Scum is back except for Gary. So,
yeah.
Bump quick promo. And then our last match, our TV main event.
At some point, we got an ad for AJ Styles.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. AJ Styles will be here in 2 weeks. We're not sure what capacity or for how long. And, Roddy brought that up in his promo. He's like, AJ Styles is going to come back. I never left. I've been here the entire time. I mean, he's getting a title shot and I'm not. So you could see AJ Styles in Ring of Honor again. It'd be interesting to see how long it's been since he's been in Ring of Honor.
I mean, it's been, excuse me.
Probably better bet in 10 years.
Yeah, because that would have been just when Ring of Honor just did pay-per-views, basically, right? So,
yeah. There's only a way we could find that out. But yeah, our main event with Jay Lethal on the call. We've got Tommaso Ciampa, his first TV title defense. I do like the TV title is being defended on TV versus Silas Young. You know, both these guys are quote-unquote from Milwaukee. I don't know if you remember, Will, in NXT, that Ciampa always came out saying he's from Milwaukee because his wife was. We talked about them before, but yeah, Taven comes out here real quick and by himself. No Truth Martini, no also Hoopla, no Hoopla Hotties or anything. And, you know, he kind of confronts Ciampa a little bit and he says, you know, I didn't get to shake your hand. And he goes to extend his hand to Tommaso. He says, I'm going to get my title back, but before I do want to shake your hand, you beat me that night. And Silas jumps Taven and then they chase each other around and we're off, Will. And,
Yeah, I didn't love this opening segment. It felt like they kind of shoehorned that in, and it felt like it went a little long.
Yeah. God damn, these two are tailor made for each other. Obviously, you know, Silas kind of gets
it. It was a hell of a match.
Yeah. Is this now your match of the year so far in 2024, or still Romantic Touch and Andrew Everett?
If they had gone more to the point here, maybe. Oh.
Without the fuckery in the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me, but... God damn.
The knees on the outside where he's like, he runs the length of the wall and hits the knee.
Yeah. And then, so I don't know if this was done on purpose or not, but Silas goes to grab the strap. But what, his foot slipped under the ring and he tripped? Do you think that happened on purpose or not? I couldn't tell. Because he ate a vicious fucking knee. And I mean, his fucking face exploded. I mean, his nose is broken. And he starts bleeding right off the bat. Do you think he was supposed to trip like that, you think? I don't know.
It feels weird to say somebody tripped on purpose, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
I saw when I was on Facebook on my break the other day, and it had the clip of the match, you know, we're talking about Cody Rhodes earlier, where he lost the title because he was on, like, the edge. And he takes the drop kick and he puts his foot down and the foot goes through the table and he loses. And the thing was saying like, oh, this was unscripted. This wasn't supposed to happen. It's like, was it or wasn't it? It's like, it feels like they set it up for him to go through that. Like they set it up for him to like put a foot through that table. And it was supposed to be like, oh, haha. But it's like, if it wasn't scripted and he's just standing there like on TV, like all the cameras on him, he's just gonna be like, well, fuck me.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Should ask him. You got connections.
I do. I might even see him on Friday. I don't know. We'll see. It's gonna be interesting. Because you know, Jerry and I talked about this on Midwestern Wrestling Roundup because the locker room's pretty small, so the basically people hang outside. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, -13 wind chill on Friday.
That's balmy for you guys.
Yeah, and, you know, you got 30 wrestlers crammed into a room probably about the size of my living room maybe. It's going to be interesting. So, well, back to the match here real quick. You know, Silas got a broken nose. He takes that one move at the top. I can't space the name of the move, but Silas ends up hitting Misery on Ciampa, but Ciampa kicks out. And then Silas goes for Misery again, but Ciampa kind of slides out of the way, pushes off the rope and into a sweet rolling Sicilian stretch for the tap out. Silas pretty much taps out right away. So Ciampa is successful in his first, you know, TV title match. And then after the match, Silas grabs a strap, but Jay Lethal stops him. They start fighting. Taven comes in, drop kicks Silas. They fight, and then in the end, we see Ciampa raising the belts in their faces. Yeah, in the near future, we're going to get Jay Lethal versus Ciampa, maybe in Pittsburgh. So, even though that's not on TV, but all in all, Will, like we always ask at this time, like I said, if this is your first episode of Ring of Honor television ever, would you keep watching the Ring of Honor?
Maybe. I was pretty happy with this, other than, like I said, the stuff at the start of the Ciampa match. It just felt like that went a little long. It didn't really feel like Ciampa was, like, really, like, listening and, like, responding to, like, what Taven was saying. He's just kind of, like, staring at him, like, holding the belt up in his face and, like, licking his chops, whatever. It's like, you're not, like, actively listening. You're not really responding to the person that's in front of you, and it's really jarring.
Yeah.
When somebody's like, I came out here to talk to you, and the other just like, belt.
How's that go?
Just like that. hit that back arrow. Go back and listen to it again if you want. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. I don't know. I
like Top Prospect Tournament. It's always a great time of the year.
Yeah, and we're both.
And they're keeping everything. Well, they're keeping everything moving along
quickly. You know, and I don't know. I'm torn on the four match TV episode. I mean, it's good we're getting more matches because they're telling more stories in the ring, and we had a quick promo. But just some of these matches, I just kind of wish would go a little longer. You know, I would have liked seeing maybe 2-3 more minutes of Andrew Everett and Romantic Touch. You know, and I think, you know, that tag, you know, that impromptu tag team match could have benefited from a couple more minutes. So we'll see. But we're getting, like you said, we're getting more matches. We're getting more stories. You know.
Yeah, it's keeping stuff. I mean, because the downside, right, to the, like, the two-match thing is you might have stories that aren't even present on TV.
Yeah.
For a couple weeks. Whereas this is, like, keep the balls rolling, like, keep it going. We're going to get through this tournament. We're going to build up to these other things. But no, what we haven't seen really, Tom, is our tag team champions.
Oh, yeah. I had to think there for a second. I kind of forgot who they were.
I'm pretty sure it's still Red Dragon, right? They beat Outlaw Inc. at that final battle.
Yeah.
And it's all right. There's going to be that renewed focus on tag team wrestling to help carry the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
But no, I was happy with this episode of TV. I was not. A couple of good weeks in a row. I also don't, I'm sorry if I spaced and just didn't hear you mention it, but commentary going to shit during the main event with Carino and Lethal just like.
Yeah, I don't like you
at all. Losing it with each other. Well, Kevin Kelly's like, there's both of you stop. There's a match going on in the ring.
Yeah.
I do kind of like the Carino's trying to toe that line, right, where he's trying not to acknowledge everything that's happened. But at the end of the day, Steve Carino is still a heel and he's still an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, all in all, enjoyed. Like I said, it's a good time. Like I said, I mean, we obviously know we're excited what's going to come out of the Top Prospect Tournament. I hope we get more tag teams. So, I mean, yeah, you got the Young Bucks waiting in the wings. You know,
Young Bucks, Bucks of Youth,
Bucks of Youth. You know, I don't think we're getting any more TMDK. They might actually be in NXT by now. Yeah, because I mean the Briscoes are pretty much not going to be taken up, so it'll be interesting to see if Mark's going to find another tag team or if he's going to do a little bit of a singles run here. So things are looking up, Will. So
yeah,
but Will, before we pull a train in the station here, because I'm losing a little bit of steam here. Sorry about that, high fivers. But is there anything else you want to put over and or mention before we wrap it up?
No, just if for whatever reason you are not, make sure you're following at ROH Revelry. I'm going to start making sure to be a little more active on there. I did share an article earlier from Slam Wrestling. A friend of the show, Josh Olson, is immortalized in his own trading card.
That's
along awesome. With other wrestling card collectors. So, I mean, he could say that he's in a group with Matt Cardona and Brian Myers. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
For a librarian from Michigan, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So shouts out to them. I got a paid promotion from none of my friends like comics, but they've been liking the posts too, been interacting more, and we're starting to get cooking on maybe having Nick on here and maybe myself and maybe both of us being on an episode with Nick, maybe covering do a powerbomb, maybe.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I'm down
so,
for whatever, so.
Cooking up some crossover episodes, so check out None of My Friends Like Comics. It's kind of similar to, like, you know, Tom and I were just saying, like, is this episode of TV going to make you keep watching? That's what they ask at the end of their episodes, is if you, you know, based on what we've talked about, is this something that you'd pull and you'd want to read, or is it be, would this be something that you drop and you don't really think about again?
Yeah. So that's awesome. So yeah, and make sure to listen if you
and,
know.
I was just gonna say, and you know, and our wives, Visionaries Global Media, Shining Wizards.
All the great high fivers and listed. Yeah, to make sure you check out show notes. And we don't actually mention enough, but X and Dark and Darkest Days X, obviously, I did the logo for our show. I do need to get some stickers out. I need to get some more stickers because I'm not liking the quality of these stickers. But Freeze, I swear I'm going to get you your stickers. But yeah, you can smash, you know, follow. I got all the Twitters in the notes. So if you need to follow us, just smash those. And if you need any logos or anything, make sure you're hitting up, you know, In Darkest Days and everything. And yeah.
Brightest Day. That's a Green Lantern thing. And Brightest Day and Darkest Night.
Interesting.
Okay. Green Lantern's light.
Yeah. And then,
I know he's reeling. You know, a lot of us are hurting from this playoff football, Tom. My Steelers fucking sucked the bag. They had it within one score at one point, and I was ready to eat my hat unprompted because I thought they had no chance of scoring any kind of offense against Buffalo. But, you know, they could have done worse. The Browns got bounced. Are you a Packers fan?
Born and raised.
I know. Your Packers moving on, they look decent.
Demolish the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah.
I mean, really all the games this past weekend, like there was like one team that got fucking smashed. My dad and I said though, the Lions, maybe the best result.
The only really
the Lions beating out the only close game, and it's right, Stafford losing to Goff after they kind of swapped teams.
Yeah. Yeah, Stafford won a Super Bowl with the Rams the year after he left, so you know,
you can hit us up, like my dad wants to see the Lions and the Bills in the Super Bowl.
That'd be fun.
There's a tough road to get there because the Lions got to play San Francisco next.
No, Packers have San Francisco next.
Packers have San Francisco next.
Yeah, the Lions have Buccaneers. Yeah, the Packers are the first team, or the first number seven seed to win a playoff game. I mean, granted, they've only been doing seven wild cards for 4 years, but
imagine what the Packers would have done if they saw Aaron Rodgers.
Probably would have lost.
Probably. How'd it work out for the Jets?
And I love Aaron Rodgers, don't get me wrong, but it was time for a change. But the Packers are the youngest team to make the playoffs in like 50 years. So, I mean, they're a young team. So, Jordan Love from Utah State, big fan of people. A lot of people in the Utah and Idaho are known Packer fans because of Jordan Love. So,
Utah, yeah, huh?
Yeah, it's out west.
But I know where Utah is.
I know, I was just being funny. I've been to Utah. Beautiful state. My wife was born in Utah.
I've heard it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I have a friend who works for, I don't know if he still works for them, but he worked for StubHub, I think. And he worked out this, he lived out this way, but they moved him to their offices out in the Salt Lake area.
Interesting. You want to talk about fucking snow? Those motherfuckers get snow. God damn.
But it's not wet snow. I'll drive in snow all day. But the slushy shit is what gets.
Well, yeah, it's Salt Lake's weird. It's got the moisture from the Great Salt Lake and then the mix of the mountains. So it's interesting. But yeah, I mean, I was out there in 2008, and they got 2 feet of snow on Christmas Day in one day.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's redonk. So.
That's a lot of snow.
Yeah. So, but they know how to take care of it out there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm actually paying attention to the playoffs here. Even if the Packers had lost, you know, I would have. The fact they even made the playoffs is ridiculous, so. But
you know, Tom, the last time the Steelers were in the Super Bowl, they lost to the Packers.
No, I'm aware.
That was a brutal game, being the only person who actually cared about the outcome of the game, being heckled by a room full of people.
Motherfuckers. Yeah, I was working in a gas station. I bet you can guess what town I was working in a gas station at, Will.
Was it Stanley, Idaho?
It was Stanley, Idaho.
Are you considering a vacation? Stanley, Idaho. Signed off by Milwaukee Tom.
Yeah, just drop my... You can drop the name Tom the Bomb in most local establishments, and I'm sure there will be some people that remember them. Remember, so there should be at least, so...
That'll have to be your alter ego. You got Milwaukee Tom, and you got Stanley Spock.
Oh, it was Tom the Bomb back then, so.
Tom the Bomb. That was your drinking days, right?
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. Name dropping Tom the Bomb may or may not get you thrown out of an establishment.
No,
let us know if you try it.
Yeah. Let me know. I'd be curious to find out, so. But,
this is fun. We're at ROH Revelry. I'm at W. Mercier Jr. You're at High Five, number five, Tom.
Not five spelled out.
Not Irish five Misfit. Spelled, not five spelled out. Brandon's at Irish Misfit. SJ's at Carnival of Chaos with K's.
UTT Rob.
And then at UTT Rob.
And at Missionaries Cold Media. At Shining Wizards. And I'm going to pull a plug because I'm tired. But, Will, thank you, my friend, and I'll talk to you next week.
Next week.
Later, dude.
Later. This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.